listening to Real Conversations with Jacob Young. Real Conversations is sponsored by Boys Town. Boys Town has been saving children, healing families for over 100 years. Also by Lane Frost Brand, made with the champion in you. Be sure to use Jacob15 to save 15% on anything and everything. Lane Frost Brand. My guests, yes, two this week, have a lot in common. Canada, ice, pucks, a hugely successful, both of them careers in the NHL. One was a defense man with teams like Anaheim Ducks, Tampa Bay Lightning. The other was a left winger with teams that including Nashville Predators and the St. Louis Blues. They also have something else in common. Together with another NHL icon, the late Jimmy Broadway Hayes, they created the popular podcast, Missing Curfew. My guests this week are hockey legends Shane O'Brien and Scotty Upshaw. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real with Real Conversations with Jacob Young. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Great introduction.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good thing you didn't go through all our teams or it would have taken up the whole podcast. So good job just keeping them short and sweet.
Well, I actually kind of was going like eeny, meeny, miny. And then I started looking at stats and I was like, oh, God, you know what? I'm just going to throw a couple out there.
Smart.
That's good. You picked the southern ones, and that's where hockey needs to grow. So you did a good job. Nashville now is one of the best places to go watch a hockey game. So you did a good job there.
Nashville is a good town. Now, I really enjoy your guys' podcast, Missing Curfew, and it's so entertaining for everyone, even if you don't know a lot about the NHL.
Yeah, Jake, I could just, I'll start off and say, you know, the world of podcasting is all about, you know, expressing yourself and sharing stories. And, you know, Shane and I have had this thing where we want to become like a locker room where our banter is brought to a guy in a car or a guy and his kid traveling to a hockey game. And just, you know, what it's like to be, you know, to live a dream and play in the NHL, but also be just a normal human, tell some good stories. So what we do dive into and what we have the most fun with, and I think Shane would agree with this, is just the first 10 minutes where we're, you know, we're going back and forth. We're sharing stories of the week. We're catching up on whether it was a golf game or a night out with the boys or a nice big dinner. Or an event we go through. So just, it's been, you know, it's been a great learning curve. We've been doing this for 2 years now. So getting to do it with one of your buddies is pretty cool, where you don't just feel like the pressure's all on you. You share the accolades of it. You know, the hard times, and you get to build something with your buddy. So it's been great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And obviously Jacob, me and the Updog, we've been boys for years now. Right. So we lived the dream together and, played against each other, but then me, him, and Lupo were out here in Newport Beach training together. Me and the Updog were single for most of the time we were doing this together. So we were having fun off the ice together, but working hard. And it was just something that I always wanted to do. And I knew Uppy was the guy to do it with me. And, you know, we go for a locker room feel, and the fact that you said that people don't watch hockey is maybe the ultimate compliment. But for me now, as you know, as anyone, life moves on, right? Uppy's got a beautiful daughter and another baby boy on the way, and I'm doing my stuff. So, you know, we don't get to see each other as much as we used to when we were 25 single and playing in the International Hockey League. So it's a couple hours where I get my boy in the studio and we can pretend like we're still playing hockey again and that we're back in the locker room.
Totally. Now I know the Newport scene, cause I lived in the South Bay and Redondo Beach and Manhattan Beach for many years of my LA life, my previous life and my younger years, as you're talking about. Now with a name like Missing Curfew, I'm guessing might've been a little few curfews that were being missed during the NHL careers. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. We missed more than we made. That's for sure. There was only one time in my career they called curfew on us in Colorado. A coach by the name of Joe Sacco actually called curfew on us. But no, we were the guys that, you know, we played hard on the ice and we played hard off the ice. And it kind of motivated, you know, I think I could speak for Uppy a little bit. That's what made us play hard, is we loved a big win and going out after. And, you know, when we did play together in Florida, being like, Uppy, great win, fella. Where are we going? Oops, I got dinner here. And then we're going here. It was something I like to call the finer things of the league.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback on that. There was always a saying that some older guys taught me when I was a young NHLer was, if you want to go out with the boys, you got to get up with the men. And that stuck with me because I always wanted to be, you know, a guy that you could lean on for whether I can push a player in practice or I could set up a dinner. Like I could kind of do both, but you were going to get the best of me no matter where we were, what we were doing. And it's just kind of what you live by, but there is truly a thing playing guilty, which means, you know, if you do go out and have that extra bottle of wine when maybe you shouldn't have, or if you were an hour late for curfew, that you come to the rink the next day, knowing that you got to give a little extra and show your teammates that, you know, although he likes the finer things in life, he sure brings it the next day. So
sure.
Jacob, you notice he said extra bottle, not extra glass of wine.
He didn't even, he went right. He's like, if you had that extra bottle of wine, and he didn't even mention anybody else having the extra bottle.
Yeah. Who can stop with just the glass? I mean, come on.
You know, I was in Helsinki, Finland a few years back, and I didn't know anything about Helsinki. I was just there. I was shooting on location and ended up at this like little tiny bar. And then I kept hearing music and ended up in the back. And it was like this full on party that was going on. And the next thing you know, a bunch of guys, they're all 6 foot plus, show up in like drag, but beards and hairy. And I was like, these guys lost a bet. They must have lost some sort of bet. So eventually I had the courage because these guys were huge. And I was like, who are you? What? Who are you? We're the Scottish rugby team. And I said, did you lose a bet? Anything like that ever happen on the road for you guys?
Oh, I mean, come playoff time, guys look basically like they're just Vikings. Like they've been through 5 wars and back. I mean, no teeth, cut up faces, wounded, and just excited to be kind of with each other and throw the lead. So, I mean, it's kind of, it would be a shock to go in and all look like yourself with the clean stash and the perfect hair and no.
Thank you for recognizing the stash. I appreciate
that. The stash is nice. That's a nice duster.
Thanks.
We'll give accolades to where they're needed for sure. But like, and Obi will say, it's our best friend, Ryan O'Reilly, who's the captain of the St. Louis Blues. Like he's got a flipper that he takes in and out. He's missing like 3 of his front teeth and he's the best looking guy almost in the league. But you know, when you're a hockey guy, that's just the role you fill. You fill that Viking role like, where you're just kind of like, hey, this is my profession. I got to own it.
Right.
Yeah, you sacrifice come playoff time. It's actually funny, Jacob, you brought it up. We're going to do a segment this week on missing curfews. There's been some guys that have been shaving through the playoffs or in the final. And I'm like,
that's a no-no.
Ah, you got to sacrifice here, boys. But during the regular season, chicks dig scars, obviously, which was good. But when you're a single guy like me in the Updog, you're always looking good. So we kept it clean during the season. But come playoff times, it's all about winning. You grow the greasy beard. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I grew a beard one time and they're like, hey, nice playoff beard. I was like, I was. So now there's a lot of podcasts that are out there. There's quite a few. And there's a lot of hockey podcasts that are out there. And I had Ron Duguay on the show not too long ago. What makes Missing Curfew different from, say, any other hockey podcasts that are out there?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question. And, you know, we'll give some love to the, you know, we call them the original OGs, the boys that spit and chicklets, Biz and Wit. You know, they set the bar of you know, being the best podcast. And I just thought to me and Uppy, we went on Chicklets before. And I just thought that me and Uppy being boys and being through it and missing curfew, like we talked about, and you know, the authenticity, if that's the right word, of our friendship would really come through. And I think the biggest compliment for me and Uppy is when people listen to it, it's two best buddies that love the locker room, that are going to shoot it straight, that swear too much, but I think it's just real.
Yeah, how about you, Scotty?
It's just a great opportunity, Jake, to continue to, you know, to be a voice and to speak what's on your mind, to have a platform, to build a brand. Like I think Shane and I, you know, it's through the thick and the thin and how hard things are at some points. You know, there's so much fulfillment you get at the end of the day when you do just a great podcast. You bring on a great friend of, you know, maybe it's your friend comes on as a guest, or maybe it's someone we've never met. You know, we just had Wayne Gretzky on, for example, which was
great episode, by the way. Loved it.
I was so nervous to do the podcast. I had Wayne as a coach. You know, I've met him numerous times now, but to sit in and for him to want to come on and share some stories with Shane and I, it means a lot. So that satisfaction, you know, podcasts live on for forever, right? They're on YouTube. They're going to be on Spotify, Apple. One day, my boy, who's, you know, going to be born in August, going to have a chance to hear what his dad did with the boys back. Maybe it's not all perfect, but he's getting an honest view of, you know, my story that lives on. And when you introduce our late Broadway Jimmy Scoops Hayes, like, his two little boys always have, you know, this opportunity to come on and listen to his dad speak. You know, he gave us 55 episodes and something that, you know, it can never be replaced. So that's, at the end of the day, that's something really special that we feel honored to be able to do. You know,
that sure is. And there'll always be this YouTube video too, with you in front of this cool Bronco.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. Yeah.
What year is that? Is that a 72?
Tucked in there too. Like, are you not? Look how close the window is to what he got. Hey, Jacob, my boy Upshaw has everything everywhere. He's very organized, but he's got stuff everywhere. Look at how tight it's packed.
It's tight in there. It's tight. And I noticed there's no other cars that are allowed to park around it either.
No, because if you look, I got the TRX there, but then look, the hyperbaric chamber's right there. So that thing, that's going to keep me young like you, Jake, forever.
Oh, come on, man. No. You guys are already younger than me. I must be living clean.
Whatever you're doing, it's working. So.
As my boy Kevin Conley told me, I always like, Collins, you haven't aged since I met you. He's like, you got to moisturize, bro. You got to moisturize.
Moisturize 3 times a day, baby.
Yes.
You got to keep it baby soft. So let's go to the game back in the day, right? So how did each of you mentally prepare to win before the game?
Hockey's a tough sport, and you know, we grew up playing it. We grew up every day going to the rink with our dad and our buddies as kids. And as you become a pro, you start to realize, you know, just how tough the game is. You play 82 games a year of professional hockey with a lot of travel, not to put in injuries, not to put in nights where you can't, you know, fall asleep at a half decent hour because you're just replaying the game. And I think you get into a mode of, you know, I just got to get up. I got to put forth my best effort because you don't know who's going to come watch you. You don't know who's bringing their kid for the first time to want to see, you know, a great product on the ice. And as a professional, you realize that the ultimate goal is winning a Stanley Cup and that you don't get there unless, you know, there's some failure, there's some adversity. And along the way, you just learn how to kind of deal with it all. And then when you figure it all out, you show up and becoming a good pro is such a saying that means a lot. It just means you prepare, you show up, you recover the right way, because the game doesn't last forever. And one day it's gone and all you have are these memories and you want to be able to say you put everything into it. So, you know, it is the preparation. It is eating right. It is getting enough sleep. It is, you know, enjoying every minute of it, because before you know it, it's gone and all you have is a podcast to talk about.
Hey, and a damn good podcast. Shane, what about you?
Yeah, you know, Jacob, I was drafted 8th round, 250th overall. So, you know, the percentage of me playing one game was not very high. So when I made the league, you know, I tried to enjoy every second of it. I like to keep the boys loose before the game. I tried to keep it laughter, joke around and this and that. And sometimes, you know, there's coaches I played for that didn't like it, but that's how I handled it. And then I went out for warm up and get into it. But once it came to national anthem time and, you know, the Star Spangled Banner was done and O Canada was done and I did that little sniffer, it was go time, baby. But yeah. I just felt like Uppy's right about all the preparation and all that stuff. But for me, going to the rink with the boys before the game, 2 hours before the game and getting ready with the boys and going around the room and up dog, here we go, baby. Jacob, let's have a big win here. And then going out there, I enjoyed every second of that.
Oh, man. Can I be you guys?
We want to be you. That's the funny part. We made the NHL. We started hanging out in Hollywood. Uppy and Loop Dog bought a Sprinter van. We'd go up to Hollywood every weekend. We were trying to be actors. We wanted to be actors.
Hey, man, I'm always producing something. We can find something for you guys.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, we'd love that. That'd be awesome.
So,
you know what? Hey, Jacob, you know what might be a cool movie is the Eric Lindros story. Remember Eric Lindros? He got drafted by Quebec and then traded for, it was on the, today was the anniversary. Actually, that's why I brought it up. So maybe that could be a cool movie we do one day. We got to find someone to play Eric Lindros, who's a big studly actor. I'm sure there's somebody out there.
So everybody, I tell my, yeah, well, of course, there's plenty of guys that will be ready to do that.
Yeah.
And a great story. I always tell my students, got to have the script. That's number one.
Yeah.
That's the first part. Who's going to write the script?
That's true. It's not going to be me. I'll tell you that. My grammar's not very good, Jacob. I'll be honest, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey, it makes you authentically yourself. I like it. Hey,
Jacob, Uppy's a good writer, actually. He snaps out these emails really quick for our company.
Yeah.
He can put pen to paper pretty good, the Updog.
Dude, you put a treatment together. I'll get somebody to just finish it up for you.
Perfect. Well, this is the beginning of a long-standing relationship, I think.
I certainly hope so.
Uppy, doesn't our one buddy John Pecora have a screen? Doesn't he have like something written down or something?
He has. I don't want to give it too much away.
Well,
he keeps it so hidden, but I think he's got 3 seasons of like what he would. I think it should be a cartoon personally, where we're all cartoon characters.
Animation.
But more of an animation thing, because I think that would take off, and it can kind of be that like funny yet like explicit, like rated, you know,
adult swim sort of.
And it's basically the story of 3 young hockey players living in Newport Beach, going through an all-star break, coming back for their first summer back together, going into free agency, signing a big contract, going to Hollywood. It's just a cool, like, basically script on our life.
I say let's sell it.
Yeah.
Now, I personally watch a lot of baseball, and I hear baseball commentators talk about how much baseball has changed over the years. Is hockey also changing?
Yeah, it definitely has, Jacob. And I'll be honest with you, fella, I have a hard time with it changing sometimes. Okay, I'm the old crusty big defenseman that didn't wear a visor, that thinks you can cross check and punch everyone in the face. It's no longer like that. It's faster. It's skilled. The fourth line nowadays, for example, these guys are all skilled, can skate or fast. Where when me and Updog played, fourth line guys were big and would fight. And it's just way quicker. I wish it was more physical. I wish there were some more battles at times, but the playoffs have been unbelievable. And the skill and speed, Jacob, nowadays, to me, when I watch it, it still blows me away.
Scotty, for the audience members that are listening, that tune into my podcast, that don't follow hockey, why has fighting become such an important part of hockey?
Well, it's always been an important part. And I think the reason being is protecting some of your highly skilled guys. Now, I think what Shane is talking about is, you know, the league is such an extraordinary league. The skill and the speed is so fast. It's the fastest game in the world. And it's very elegant when seen live. The way these guys skate, move the puck, pass the puck, it's spectacular. And as a hockey guy, we all love that about our game. Now, what Shane's saying is, like, you know, there was always a war aspect of it. Like, there was always, if you won the Stanley Cup and your name got engraved on that silver jug, it meant that you went to war with your buddies and you managed to survive and you came out on top. And that, you know, you just hope nowadays moving forward, it is still that battle that guys have to go through to get there. And this year's playoffs, Shane just mentioned it. I think the first round was a lot of referees calling penalties, a lot of old school guys within the game thinking, like, guys, put the whistles away. Let these guys play. Let these guys sort out the game themselves. Let them find a winner within themselves, right? And then the last couple rounds, we're now into the Stanley Cup final and the two best teams have got there and the refs have put the whistles away. And it is truly still a remarkable game. And there's been a couple little fights here and there, but, you know, I think hockey needs to keep the fighting, but it shouldn't be all about fighting. It shouldn't be people coming to the game to watch a fight. It should be people coming to a game knowing that they're going to get, you know, the most intense action, fast live action that one guy can bring his kids to. And that's what I think the NHL is to our fan base.
Have those changes occurred because of concussions and PTSD and things like that?
Yeah. And you know, Uppy makes a great point about fighting, Jacob. Like, I used to fight and I hated it, to be honest with you, unless I was mad. If, you know, if someone, you know, high stuck me or did something I didn't like, then it's fine. And, you know, since we've done Missing Curfew, we've brought guys on that were strictly fighters that you would have thought loved it back in the day. And they come on our podcast and they say, you know, for example, Brian McGrattan, who you would have thought this guy loved it, hated it. Other guys hated it. So the fighting aspect of it was hard, but the physical nature of, you know, the way the Updog played, like going to the net hard, finishing your forechecks, battles in front of the net. That's the stuff we're talking about.
Right.
But the fighting and concussions, it's almost their own fault too. These guys got so big and so tough, Jacob, that somebody was going to get seriously hurt in a fight.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be able to deal with it. I was a wrestler. I was a wrestler, but I couldn't deal with a punch though. I'll tell you what, my brother and I, my dad gave us boxing gloves at one point when we were kids, cause we'd fight like crazy. Just like, he's like, fine, just take it out on each other. And my brother, cause he was 6 years older than me, which made me tough as nails, by the way. He would clean clock me, and boy, like, you don't ever want to get hit like that.
No, you know, the emotions of fighting, you know, you get hit a little bit. You're like, he didn't really get me that much. Right. And then the next day you go to practice, you go put your helmet on. You're like, he got me with a couple.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough sport, man. And I have so much admiration for you guys. You guys, like, you literally, you're regular guys in Canada growing up. Right. And then you became these superstar sports heroes. How did you cope with all the attention that comes with becoming a professional athlete?
I think it's just kind of our nature. Like when you're at the rink, you never really, it doesn't really dawn on you that, you know, you're going to play hockey in front of 18,000 people today, or, you know, all the finer things that come with being the athlete. You know, I just always look at it as, it was kind of what we did. It was learning how to throw a baseball and just knowing how to throw it really hard. And it wasn't, you know, that you were standing on a mound doing it. It still felt like you were doing it in your backyard with your dad. So for us, like, just, you know, there was, I think at the end of the day, when we would do things within the communities, and hockey's been so great for, you know, helping inner city communities or hospitals, you know, children in need, giving back. Those are the moments where you actually sit back and go, wow, being an athlete and being able to touch all these people and being able to make change is what truly is the grateful part of it. You know, but then the other stuff about, it's just going out and playing a game we loved, and then, you know, being able to do it, make money, travel, you know, play it in front of your friends and your family at that level. That's all the bonus side to things. But, you know, you really feel grateful when you see like a little kid and you give him an autographed stick and make his day. And, you know, it could be a kid who's had a rough go, or it could be someone that's just feels honored to be able to meet an NHLer. So I always look back at those moments and think, like, you know, that's some of the greatest thank yous that I've been able to do playing hockey.
I've got a rash. Would you sign a hockey stick for me?
He's got all kinds of hockey sticks. Yeah. For me, Jacob, just to answer that question, because it's a really good question. You know, my first time going home, me and Uppy come from small towns. I'm Port Hope, Ontario. He's from Fort McMurray, Alberta. And, you know, when I first went home and started seeing people look at me differently, like, you know, kids or adults or people to school with, I was like, wow, this is like really special. And, you know, obviously giving back to minor hockey and stuff like that. And, you know, then I was in the NHL and I was like, you know, it's kind of why I moved to California, if I want to be honest with you, right? Nobody out here really cares about hockey. I had my boys Upshaw and Lupo here. We could get our workouts and do our thing. So, love Canada, love being a hockey player. It helped out with the girls, Jacob. I'm not going to lie. It was a nice feather in the cap for that.
But I bet.
To get away from in the summertime was nice to come out to California, because we could be, you know, pro athletes, but it was a lot more chill for us. So that's kind of why we came out here in the first place.
Nice. Now, you guys have such a great chemistry, truly, on the podcast. Your personalities are similar. Are they similar off the ice and on the microphone? On the ice, off the ice?
I would say that, yeah, like, we try to be ourselves, right, to the best of our ability. Like, we're able to say whatever we want. I think the more we say, the more we get out of people, whether it's a comment about a player or something that happened, or it's a story that we tell. You know, we always want to just be ourselves. Now, what you see is what you get. Obi, the way he speaks was the way he played. And that's the best thing about him. Me, I think you could probably ask Obi, probably say the same. So that is why I think our podcast has been something that resonates with a lot of people who either listen to us going to work. You know, we just went up to Canada to watch a couple games a couple weeks ago, and, you know, just the recognition from these absolute beauties up there that are just, you know, good Canadian hockey guys that are like, you know, Obi, Up Dog, you guys make our week when we listen to pod, like, you know, can we slam a beer with you? Like something like that. You're like, wow, these guys are just absolute beauties. So I don't know. It kind of makes
that's great.
Yeah, it's, you know, we really are. Like, we played together and against each other. We had lots of similarities on the way we played the game. We both played it hard. We both were team guys. You know, we both were the guys that set stuff up on the roll. We both loved going out with the team and stuff like that. And that's how it changed into our podcast. And we are who we are in our pod, and that's what makes it real. And when it comes to our relationship, you know, it's almost like we're bros, right? Like, you know, we're turning into, we're getting older, and Uppy's a father, and you know, there's times we argue with each other about stuff, but then we get in the studio and it's 2 hours of where we just break it down. And I often tell Uppy it's my favorite 2 hours of the week, because I just get him and me with the microphone and we were just talking like we did back in the day. And you know, it feels like we're back in the room.
So I did notice that it was 2 hours. How did you formulate the fact that it was going to be 2 hours long?
Yeah, it's sometimes it gets a little long, Jacob. We like to keep them around like an hour, hour and a half. But sometimes
when you're with buddies, right?
Yeah. And honestly, like Uppy said about the intro, that's our favorite part. You know, we talk hockey because it's what we know. It's what we live. The game's been so good to us. But I could honestly get in there with Uppy and just talk about anything. So our intro is supposed to be like 10 minutes. And next thing you know, it turns into 35, 40. So that's why they're 2 hours, Jacob. We just get in there and we lose track of what we're talking about.
I personally love the Manscaped intro recently. That was,
I got a text from my mother-in-law for Father's Day yesterday. Pretty nice text, you know, and in the midst of it was, and what a Manscaped read that was this week. I'm like, oh God. what did we say? Cause I often forget, like I forget a lot. And then Obi will be like, buddy, the pod, I'm listening to it this morning when it dropped, like, it's so good. And he's like, you gotta listen to this part. And I'm like, okay. And then I dive in and I'm like, wow, you know, we really let it rip this week. So it's fun. It's
great. I played it for my wife today.
How'd that go over?
She was drinking coffee. I think it came out her nose at one second. She was, especially something about the pubes coming out of the swimsuit. I was like, yeah, these are the guys I'm interviewing today.
Yeah. Yeah. Those Manscaped guys, their ads are pretty funny.
That's good stuff. It's glad they're working with you guys. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, guys, on a serious note, in August 2021, you tragically lost your good friend and fellow NHL legend, Jimmy Broadway Hayes. What did his friendship mean to each of you?
I'd known Jimmy for, I'm actually looking at a photo of him here in the garage, but I've known him for probably 7-8 years now. We played together in Florida. He's a young kid, got traded to us from Chicago. I remember getting a text from one of my best buddies that Shane knows too, Andy Mech. And he said, hey, you're getting a good Boston kid here. Take care of him. And geez, from that day forward, man, he walked in our room. He was the life of the party. He always had the right thing to say, had a smile on his face. And when you talk about, you know, touching people and leaving a great impression on people, this is what Jimmy Hayes used to do. And, you know, we all retired basically in and around the same time. We jumped on a podcast and we started off. It was Obi's idea and we all jumped on and started talking playoff hockey. This is 2 years ago now. And we had fun. We had fun every week with him. We did a couple trips together as missing curfew. Got to watch his youngest, you know, son, Bo, be born. And it sucks losing one of your buddies. And a lot of us have. And this was in a very unfortunate way. And, you know, we always, like I said before, we always have this this bond together as buddies, as teammates, and as missing curfew partners. And, you know, we feel fortunate for that. But we'll think about his kids, and we'll always try to help out him and his family and his wife, Kristen. So he still means a lot, man. We miss him every day.
Yeah, that's well set up. And, you know, for me, it's the other way. I only played with Broadway for about a month, but he made an impression on me that, you know, I remember, you know, the second time I got called up to Ups, I'm like, is this guy like this every day? And he's like, this is him every day. Ups, he brings this energy and this laughter. And he made such an impression on me that, you know, I knew Jimmy was going to need something when he was done playing, and he retired a little bit earlier than we would have wanted him to. And it is what it is, but the podcast was something I thought he'd be good at. It would keep him in the game, and it was going so well. And I remember, you know, waking up to a bunch of calls and, you know, texts from Ups, and I called Ups and he was like, and I was like, is this real? And he said, you know, it is, Obes. And I had a hard time processing it and you know, why it happened to such a good guy. And why did it happen to me and Ups when we just started this podcast? And I didn't know if I could keep it going, Jacob, to be honest with you. We took about a month away from it, and I just kept telling Ups, I don't know, man. Like, I love doing it. But anyways, we did a tribute show for him. The love and support from him, and it just proved to me and Uppy that we got to keep it going for Broadway.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. What inspiration, guys, would you give youngsters that are trying to break into professional hockey? Like, what advice?
Yeah, you know what? I would say it's a question actually that gets brought up a lot, you know, like, hey, I got this kid and he's doing great. And, you know, and I would say, you know, from a now being a father, right? Like, so if I'm talking to a dad, I would say, let the kid be, you know, who he is. Don't pressure him too much, but always be there for him. Make sure if he wants to be at hockey at a certain time, like, hopefully you can get him there, because, you know, the kids that wake up without an alarm clock and want to get to the rink by themselves, those are the kids that really love the game, and that, you know, who knows how they can flourish with the right support. And if it's a kid, you know, I would just tell him or her, I would say, you know, enjoy the game, because playing on these teams, you know, one day you leave your high school and you go away to college. You don't really see your buddies anymore. You lose track of a lot of relationships. Well, hockey keeps these special bonds together. So enjoy every minute of you know, lacing up the skates and going out and battling with your friends, you know, because after every season goes by, and Shane knows this, but you kind of look around the room after you either won a championship or you lost in the playoffs or you didn't make the playoffs, and you look around and you go, this is the last time this group of guys are ever going to play with each other, you know? So just embrace this and let's go celebrate that. Well, that feeling should be, you know, every time you go lace them up, you should know you're playing a great game and that it should be fun. And it's a beautiful game that creates beautiful relationships, and enjoy every second of it. That's kind of what I would say.
Beautiful. Yeah. How about you?
I would agree with that. And, you know, when you're young, just exactly what I said, enjoy the game, this and that. And then you get to junior, you know, you get to junior or college or whatever. If you got a chance, then just believe. Just believe that you can play. Believe that you're going to do it. And the one thing I realized at a younger age, whatever you put into the game, it'll give back to you. So if you work hard and you do the little things, but if you believe in your mind that you can play and you have a chance and you enjoy it, then good things can happen.
Thank you for saying that. And it means a lot. You know, there's so many kids out there that they have the idea that they're going to, you know, as soon as they get out of high school, they're going to be making in the professional leagues. It's tough. Any of these professions, baseball, football, hockey. But such great advice and so well said, guys. Thank you. Now, everybody on my podcast takes a ride in the Jacob Young time machine. You guys get to ride together this time to give some advice to teenage Scotty and teenage Shane. What would you say to your younger selves?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. I thought we were taking a time machine back. I was going to say, take me back to 20 when I was 25, Jacob, to Vancouver, please. Can I go back there? I would say that he would just probably say, don't worry about the little things so much, right? Like I would always worry about every little thing that happened to me and this and that. And you know, control what you can control. Enjoy the ups and downs, right? Like I really enjoyed the ups at times, but the downs, and sometimes I would, you know, get down, not on myself, but the situation. Just enjoy the whole ride, because before you know it, you know, you're 38 years old here, you know, doing a podcast. So just enjoy the ups and downs, the ride. And yeah, that's what it was all about.
Great advice. What about you, Scotty?
I would first say, I wish I journaled a little bit as I played this game. I had a couple guys, Scott Gomez, I played with, who won us a couple Stanley Cups. Often see him after flights journaling, taking notes on the experiences of what this life was. And I always admired it. I was just too busy playing poker at the time to really jump in on journaling. So I wish I took notes, because I think that's just something really special that people do as you get older, and you can always go back and think of those times, because I often forget. Maybe that's because I've been hitting the head a few times. But I would say to my younger self, you know, if you love this game, you know, as Shane said, the game will love you back. It can take you places that you've never imagined. And just always, you know, remember the people that helped you get there, which is, you know, my mom, my dad, my brother, you know, the buddies I played up playing hockey against. So, you know, a lot of thank yous and always, you know, always show them respect, because without them, you wouldn't have got here. So.
Fantastic advice. Now, I've got one more question for you guys, and this is a big one, because my sponsor, Boys Town, their motto is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And this story goes all the way back to when Boys Town was first established and they were still trying to get funding to take all these stray kids that were coming in during the Great Depression. There's a famous movie. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it before, but it's with Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney, Oscar award-winning movie. And it's based on this exact story. But there was a kid that they didn't have crutches for, and the boys would take turns carrying him to class, to sporting events. And one day father said to him, he said, "Isn't he heavy?" He said, "He isn't heavy, father. He's my brother." Meaning in our lives, we've all had somebody carry us. Who's carried you, Shane?
Wow. Great question. You know, first of all, it starts with my mom and dad and my sister. Without them, I couldn't have done it. And then honestly, through my playing career, it would be loops and ups. You know, they were my two boys through thick and thin. And, I remember, I didn't get a contract on July 1st and, driving up to Loops to Hollywood and, being like, "I'm worried, bro. I'm concerned." He's like, "It's going to work out. It's going to work out." And, Uppy, when I went on a PTO, Up Dog saying, "You can stay at my place, bro. You can crash with me as long as you want." So first and foremost, my mom, my dad, my sister, and then throughout my professional level, my two boys, Loops and Ups, I leaned on those boys a lot.
How about you, Scotty?
Jake, it's a great question. And for me, like, anytime anyone's asked who's influenced you the most and who's been your best critic, who's been your worst critic, I always used to say my dad was always supportive. Like if I had a bad game and I called him, it was never about the bad game. If I had a good game, he never pumped me up too much. It was always just, trying to help me with whatever I needed. But part of me just thinks there was, just that something else, something that maybe followed me that was just like an energy or something that always, a voice that just said, treat other people well and good things will happen to you. And, I would say, I probably haven't said this to anyone, but I've been very, very fortunate, and a lot of luck it's way more good luck than bad luck has followed me. And I don't know what it is, but it's always gave me a little bit of energy to work harder and to enjoy every moment, to treat people with respect and good fortune will just hopefully follow you. So that, I don't know. It's maybe a little special power. I don't know.
Well, I have to say, I agree with that 100%. I believe there's so much with luck in careers, right? There's a lot of great people that are going. I don't know if it's a personality thing or it's a shine, like in the movie The Shining, right? You have something that's just slightly different that stands out. But very well said. Do you feel the same, Shane? Do you feel like luck played a part?
You need a bit of luck to, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I talk about my boy Loops and Loops got traded from Anaheim to Philly to Edmonton for Chris Pronger, which opened up the 6D spot in Anaheim for me. And boom, there was my luck and there was my break. Now, did I take advantage of that? 100%. But that to me was, that was my break and that was my luck. If I didn't get that bounce and as much as I wanted to play on the Ducks with Loops, cause it would have been amazing. It's like my buddy took one for me to Edmonton and that was my bounce and I never looked back.
Yeah. I think there's so many elements that come into any professional career. Obviously skill is one, right? You got to have that. Mm-hmm. There's luck, timing, right? I think timing has a lot to do with, like you're just saying, Shane. That's amazing. Guys, I really want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me on Real Conversations. I wanted to announce also that I'll be at the 4th annual Cadence Corner Golf Gala on August 1st in Glenside, PA. If anyone's out there and lives nearby, it's an incredible cause and we're going to have a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, make sure to check out missingcurfew.com to listen to podcasts, to get all your Missing Curfew merchandise as well. Check out the merchandise. The merchandise is fantastic. Guys, it's been an honor to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, Jacob, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, Jake, you're the man. Appreciate
well,
the
time. We got to send you some merch. We'll send you some merch.
Oh, I'd love to have some merch on here. I mean, I'll throw some on the podcast. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, for sure. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Real Conversations with Jacob Young is sponsored by Boys Town. At Boys Town, their slogan is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And for over 100 years, Boys Town has been saving children, healing families. They're only one call away. They're always there to help. Please go to boystown.org for all the details on how to access Boys Town's health services, or you can simply go to yourlifeyourvoice.org. And if you are in crisis, you need immediate help, please call the trained counselors at the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000 or text VOICE, you don't feel like calling, 20121. Again, text VOICE to 20121. Thanks for joining me on Real Conversations. I'm Jacob Young. Till next time, love yourself. Love each other.